grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Direct us, O Lord God, in all our doings with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Would the children please come forward?
Hey, Lily, I got something cool today. Do your parents drink coffee? They don't. Good for them. Miss Nan drinks so much coffee, she has this thermos that she carries her coffee in because she really likes to drink coffee. So I wanted to bring her thermos. I asked her if I could borrow her thermos so that I can show you something pretty cool. I needed to keep some water hot in here, and it does because it keeps her coffee hot. That was not a good thing. Glad I hadn't poured the water in it already. Maybe what we'll do is we'll put this down here, and that way I won't do that. How about that? That sounds like a good plan to me. What do you think? All right, let's see if I got it open enough to pour some water. Yes, I do. Okay, see it's steaming? Okay, we got hot water in there. Good. Now I'm done with this part. Okay. Now, I don't want to talk about coffee. I do want to talk about tea. Have you ever seen anybody make some tea? Okay, this is a tea bag. And the way you make tea is you dip it in hot water. That's pretty cool, huh? So I put tea in there, and I even made a clear cup so all of them could see. And watch, I'm going to dip it in. And we'll let it sit there a minute. Can you see it getting a little browner? Okay, good. We're done then. That's it. Would you like to drink that? No. So actually, you're right. The way you make tea is you dip it in, and see, notice what's happening. It's getting darker and darker, isn't it? It's getting more like what tea would normally look like. The more you dip it in, the darker it's going to get. And so I wanted to talk about that today because I think this is a good illustration for us and what it is for us and our relationship with God. What if we came to church just one time and that was it? It'd be bad, wouldn't it? What if we read the Bible one time and then it'd be bad, yeah. But if we do it over and over and over and over, we get something good at the end. Isn't that right? And so when we come to church on a regular basis, when we read our Bible, when we think about God and just have our whole life centered around God, then we're what we're supposed to be. So I thought that was a pretty cool way to look at that, wasn't it? Yeah. And so don't be a single dipper. come to church, read your Bible, have God as the center of your life. That's what we're talking about today. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us and help us each and every day to have our thoughts centered around you and our lives constantly praising you. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
A reading from Deuteronomy. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from the book of Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty. Yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Fortunately, formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me even as your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ, confident of your obedience. I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A newly commissioned ensign at sea for the very first time was entering the wardroom when he bumped into a seaman carrying a mop and a bucket. The ensign asked him, "Where are you going, sailor?" And he replied, "I'm going downstairs to mop the floor, sir." The ensign snorted, "You better learn some naval terminology, sailor. You're not going downstairs to mop the floor. You're going below to swab the deck." The sailor replied, "I'll try to remember that, sir." The ensign came back, "Well, you'd better. If I ever hear you say downstairs again, I'll throw you out that little round window over there." I chuckle every time I hear that story. So often we expect things of others that we can't fulfill ourselves. And sometimes the Bible seems to ask things of us that are difficult to measure up to as well. But the benefits we find in our psalm for today, Psalm 1, well, let me introduce it to you.
First, I need to tell you that sometime in the past 2 months, I had a conversation with a person who has experienced a recent awakening in his faith and is now being looked to for leadership in his church. He wanted to talk to me, and in part of our conversation, I found myself saying to him, knowing what I know now, if I were a young pastor just starting out, one thing I would try to do is to memorize the Psalms. Perhaps I would do one a week or at least part of one. Well, this person was intrigued. What do you mean, he asked. Why would you do that? And I answered, well, the Psalms are an interesting part of Scripture. They are our words to God through which we hear God's word to us. And there's so much of life and faith in them that speaks to us as believers and how we live out our relationship with God. Taking a psalm in this way and then living them, making them part of me, seems to me to be a very valuable thing. Well, all that is especially true of Psalm 1. And if I were going to memorize only one psalm, Psalm 1 would certainly be one I would consider. Maybe you didn't pay much attention when we did the psalm together a few moments ago. And when we did it, we used a version of it designed for singing. Here are the words again with the text from the Bible. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Psalm 1 serves as an introduction to the whole book of Psalms. It spells out in its 6 short verses themes that are vital for the life of faith and which are echoed in the other psalms throughout the book. What Psalm 1 seeks to show is that the right way to live is to have one's life completely oriented around God. Happy are those whose delight is in the law of God, the psalmist says. And he goes on to describe it as having roots near the very source of life itself. And with roots, we are steady, secure, and sure. But the other way, the way of the wicked, has no foundation. Like dry leaves in the autumn, they are blown any which way by winds from every which way. And to show us how far these two ways are from each other, it's interesting to note that the very first word of the psalm, happy, begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the very last word, perish, begins with the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's as if the author of the psalm was saying, these two ways lead to different outcomes and are as far from each other as they can be. The challenge for us is that we live in a society that urges us to be oriented around ourselves. We live in a world that invites us to self-actualization, self-fulfillment, self-satisfaction, and self-pleasure. And all this focus on the self has led us to self-alienation. It's the way of the wicked, and the psalmist tells us the way of the wicked will perish. Rather, with one's life oriented around God, there is happiness, fulfillment, joy, peace, security, and hope. In any situation, what God wants ought to be our first concern.
We should practice looking for God always, in everything, first. Listening to God speak in our lives and responding when God does. I'm talking about a new way of life, a new way of living, a life where praise isn't just spoken, but lived. On September 11th, 2001, an airplane barreled into the Pentagon. And outside, near the building, was police officer Isaac Hoopy. Immediately, he began helping people struggle out of the building, in some cases carrying them out. But Hoopy wanted to do more. Wearing only his short-sleeved blue police uniform, no mask, no protective coat, not even a handkerchief, he ran into the inky blackness of the Pentagon. Someone yelled at him to stop. "We got to get people," he shouted back. Suffocating on the smoke, Hoopy heard the building cracking. He called out, "Is anybody in here? Anybody here?" Wayne Sinclair and five co-workers were crawling through rubble and had lost all sense of direction when they heard Hoopy's voice. They cried out, and Hoopy responded, "Head toward my voice, head toward my voice." Following his voice, Sinclair and the others soon made their way out of the crumbling building to safety. Happy are they whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. People of God, perk up your ears and listen. Head for the voice of God. Amen. Thank you. Gathered as God's people, we profess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Gracious God of life, you have given us the precious gift of time. Help us to find strength and enthusiasm in each hour and day to be centered on you and your work in the world. May we live each moment active in love. May you do your work through our hands. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God of support and care, you have given us the precious gift of this family of faith. We thank you that you have called us together and pray that you will lead us in building here a community of joy and compassion for each other. Open our hearts to feel your presence here with us. Open our hearts to live together in love. Lord, in your mercy. Living God of presence, you have given us the precious gift of dwelling with us. In the midst of all that life brings, may we lean on your comfort. In our work and life's busy schedule, may we find time to be still and quiet and sense you near. Increase our devotion to you as we live in our world. Help us to let others see you in us. Lord, in your mercy, saving God of love, you have given us the precious gift of grace and healing. Reach your healing and helping hand into our world. Share our lives. Bless all your people, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God of grace, you have given us the precious gift of Jesus. May we be transformed by his sacrifice to repent of our sins. May we be changed by his resurrection to live in new and graceful ways and to embrace the love and peace that come only from you. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace.
us pray. Merciful God,
as rains and leaves scattered upon the hills are gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever.
Indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God.
The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We come again to you, O God, giving you thanks that in this feast of mercy you have embraced us and healed us, making us one in the body of Christ. Go with us on our way. Equip us for every good work, that we may continue to give you thanks by embracing others with mercy and healing through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. together, the dog.